Listener, here is highlight of the week, presenting you what is happening in Indonesia this week with me, Steve. You can listen to this broadcast on voanews.id, at RA Digital, and 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Here are the top stories. Indonesia to open migrant center in Palu. Indonesia and European Union are close to finalizing comprehensive economic partnership agreement. And here is highlight of the week. Indonesia's Ministry of Migrant Worker Protection will soon open a migrant center in Palu, Central Sulawesi. The project follows a land grant from Palu City Government, which provided 2 hectares of the site. Minister of Migrant Worker Protection Abdul Kadir Karding shared the news during a handover ceremony with Palu Mayor Hardianto Rashid on Sunday. And hopefully with this initial infrastructure, we can build an integrated vocational ecosystem. One of the main problems in protecting Indonesian migrant workers is vocational training. We will push this to grow everywhere, supported by private investment and the state, to fulfill President's Astacita goals and development of human resources.
Dalam rangka mewujudkan Astacita Presiden sekaligus juga mewujudkan investasi sumber daya manusia.
The center will serve as a hub for job seekers, offering training, certification, and up-to-date information for those planning to work overseas. Minister Karding said he hopes the new facility will improve both the quality and the number of workers participants, strengthen the local economy, and create new job opportunities. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto gave the update in a virtual press briefing from Brussels, Switzerland on Saturday. He said the final discussion was held on Friday with European Union Trade Commissioner Maro Sefcovic.
Indonesia dan Uni Eropa sepakat untuk menggunakan momentum situasi yang saat ini penuh ketidakpastian dan tidak bisa diprediksi.
Indonesia and the European Union are eager to use this moment, even though the current situation is uncertain and unpredictable. Our key commodities are complementary, not in the direct competition. This will strengthen the global supply chain, so speeding up the finalization is very important.
Dari penyelesaian ini menjadi sangat penting.
Erlangga added that the agreement is ready to be announced. The results will soon be reported to President Prabowo Subianto and the European Commission President. The 2025 World Accreditation Day reminds the important role of accreditation in helping small and medium enterprises compete in the global market. More detail by Desi Anugranov.
World Accreditation Day, celebrated on June 9, 2025, carries the theme Accreditation Empowering Small and Medium Enterprises. The theme highlights the important role of accreditation in supporting the growth of SMEs so they can compete globally. Acting head of the Indonesian National Standardization Agency, Kristianto Widi Wardono, said in a statement on Monday that the agency is committed to actively supporting the development of micro, small, and medium enterprises through this year's World Accreditation Day.
Melalui Hari Akreditasi Dunia,
through World Accreditation Day, we are committed to continue and even increase our active participation in supporting the growth of micro, small, and medium enterprises through accreditation as part of conformity assessment, so they can grow and compete in the global market.
Mereka bisa naik kelas dan dapat bersaing di pasar global.
The National Standardization Agency encourages Indonesian SMEs to keep improving their product quality standard. Cristiano also noted that the accreditation helps boost innovation, create jobs, and strengthen local communities.
Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture is pushing for a major transformation in the agricultural sector, focusing on modern technology and institutional reform to support Indonesia's vision of becoming a global food powerhouse. More detail by Ofra.
The head of the Agricultural Extension and Human Resources Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture, Ida Widi Arsanti, emphasized the importance of transforming the national agricultural sector through the use of modern technology and the strengthening of agricultural institutions. She conveyed this message after officiating the academic discussions on paradigm evolutions of agricultural technologies role in responding to agricultural development challenges towards Golden Indonesia 2045, held at the IPB International Convention Center Bogor West Java on Monday. She stated that the transformation of the agricultural sector is part of the policy direction set by Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto and Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman, who aim for Indonesia not only to achieve food self-sufficiency but also to become a global food barn. Following President Prabowo's directive, we must achieve food self-sufficiency, and even more, Indonesia must become a global food barn. To achieve this, promoting modern agriculture on the ground is essential. This means applying technology and also reforming or restructuring farmer institutions. These aspects are very important. She further explained that modern agriculture is not only about using agricultural tools and machinery, but also about institutional reform among farmers, the application of cultivation technologies, and strengthening the capacity of agricultural human resources. This discussion is expected to strengthen the link between technology development and key government programs, such as the Free Nutritious Meal Program, vocational education enhancement, and food sovereignty based on local resources. Attended by 160 participants from various institutions and backgrounds, they even served as a strategic platform to strengthen collaboration between the governments and academic in advancing national agricultural development.
Indonesian government announced the revocation of mining business licenses for foreign mining companies operating in Raja Ampat, Southwest Papua. The revocation of business licenses was carried out because the four companies were found to have violated environmental conservation. Full detail by Andi Romdoni.
Indonesian Minister of State Secretary Prasetyo Hadi Tuesday announced President Prabowo Subianto's decision to revoke the business licenses of four mining companies operating in Papua. In a press statement delivered in Jakarta, he explained that since January 2025, the Indonesian government has issued a presidential regulation concerning the regulation of forest areas, which include natural resource-based businesses and mining. According to Prasetyo Hadi, the four mining companies are included in the list for the regulation of the forest area.
Perlu saudara-saudara ketahui bahwa sesungguhnya pemerintah sejak bulan Januari telah menerbitkan peraturan presiden mengenai penertiban kawasan hutan yang di dalamnya termasuk.
The government has issued a presidential regulation since January concerning the regulation of forest areas, which include natural resource-based businesses, in this case, mining businesses. Regarding what is currently being discussed in public, namely the mining business permit in Raja Ampat Regency, it is one part of all the regulatory processes being carried out by the government. And yesterday, the president led a limited meeting, among others, discussing the mining business permit in Raja Ampat Regency. And on the president's instructions, it was decided that the government would revoke the mining business permits for four companies in Raja Ampat Regency.
Pemerintah akan mencabut izin usaha pertambangan untuk empat perusahaan di Kabupaten Raja Ampat.
Meanwhile, the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Bahlil Lahadalia, said that the four mining companies were closed for a number of reasons, ranging from the discovery of environmental violations, the location of the mines being in the geopark area, to listening to input from the local government and a number of figures in Papua. He also conveyed the Indonesian government's commitment to continue to encourage downstreaming by paying attention to environmental preservation so that Indonesian products can be accepted by other countries.
Apalagi ke depan kita lagi mendorong.
In the future, we are encouraging our downstreaming properly. Downstreaming that is truly green so that our products can be accepted abroad.
Luar negeri.
Andi Romdoni, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto instructs faster waste management and local government action. Report by Dora Paride.
President Prabowo Subianto has instructed a faster implementation of Indonesia's waste management program, the national target by 2029. The instruction came during a cabinet meeting at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. Minister of Environment Hanif Faisal Nurofik said the strategy covers both upstream and downstream approaches. On the upstream side, the government will strengthen local waste processing sites that focus on reducing, reusing, and recycling. Downstream efforts include converting waste into energy through waste-to-energy plants and refuse derived fuel system.
Sehingga segala strategi telah kita susun bersama.
The president called for quick action and faster cooperation with local governments since waste management is their responsibility under law number 18 of 2028.
Nah, karena tanggung jawab sampah ini sesuai dengan Undang-Undang nomor 18 tahun 2008 itu pemerintah daerah.
Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian added that 33 landfills have been identified for energy conversion. Private sector involvement is also growing, with the Nantara investing in regional waste to energy project. Dora Pardede, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia's minister promotes entrepreneurship and small business growth. Detailed by Dora Pardede.
Minister of Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises Maman Abdurrahman at the National Entrepreneurship Day event in Jakarta on Tuesday emphasized the significance of the day in honoring entrepreneurs and young business owners across Indonesia. Maman shared optimism that Indonesia will meet or exceed its entrepreneurship ratio target of 3.10% by 2025.
Jadi tadi saya sedikit review.
Our current ratio is about 3.1%, and we aim to raise it to 3.2% by accelerating our programs.
To achieve this, the ministry runs training, management development, market access, expansion, and projects like entrepreneurship, incubation, and improved business registration. Dora Pardede, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia calls for global cooperation on inclusive infrastructure. More detailed by Andi Romdodi.
President Prabowo Subianto delivered a resolute address at the opening of Indo Defense 2025, emphasizing Indonesia's commitment to building a robust defense system while maintaining peaceful international relations. The event provides an opportunity for domestic and global defense industry to showcase the latest military innovations. In his speech, Prabowo highlighted the importance of the defense sector for a country to guarantee independence and prosperity. Referencing Indonesia's past colonialization, Prabowo stated that Dutch colonialists extracted approximately $31 trillion worth of resources, equivalent to 144 years of Indonesia's current state budget.
Apa yang itu mengajarkan kepada kita?
What does that teach us? If we are now successful in preserving our wealth, maybe our GDP per capita is also one of the highest in the world. The president further outlined Indonesia's balanced approach to defense and development. He stressed that true national security requires strong defense and social welfare. The expo featured cutting-edge defense technologies, with PT Pindad unveiling its new electrical tactical vehicle named Pandu, symbolizing Indonesia's commitment to green technology in defense. The expo runs through June 14, featuring 1,180 exhibitors from 55 countries with theme of defense partnerships for global peace and stability.
Indonesia minister takes bold step for a safer digital future. Full detail by Ofra.
Indonesia's Minister of Communication and Digital Mutia Hafidz says strong digital literacy, responsible use of technology, and proper management of new technologies are key to building a healthier online space. She made the statement to mark the newspaper's 40th anniversary at the Business Indonesia Forum in Central Jakarta on Tuesday. Mutia also said it is important to train media workers to help build a safe and trusted digital space. We believe that by focusing on our main pillars, including digital literacy, ethics, and governance of technologies such as artificial intelligence, and by improving media human resources, we can help create a healthier digital space. A safer online space will lead people to seek out credible media. She added that her ministry is working with media outlets to create a strong and sustainable media ecosystem. The 40-year journey of Business Indonesia, she said, is a reminder of the media's role in uniting the nations and moving it forward. Ova Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
And listener, that's highlight of the week.
Yang pertama. masuk logika. Padamu ku percaya, tak masuk logika. Padamu ku percaya, ku percaya, tak masuk logika. Padamu ku percaya, padamu ku percaya, tak masuk logika.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
something special. Turn off the phone to get some special. Never thought of leaving me true. But you've passed me so. It was a lovely comfort night. Far away, how to say goodbye. I've got to take me away from my sadness. Sweet home, confess so the seeds and sink up my insecure. We look at the love that is so beyond. God had to always make sure that I'm not just, somebody's pleasure. God has, to always make sure I'm not just somebody's pleasure.
Here's VOA Talk about World Blood Donor Day 2025 with Dr. Robi Nur Aditya, Head of Blood Donor Unit Center of Indonesian Red Cross.
Hello, VOA listener. And every year, countries around the world celebrate World Blood Donor Day. The event serves to raise awareness of the need for safe blood and blood products and to thank voluntarily unpaid blood donors for their life-saving gifts of blood, raising the theme, Give Blood, Give Hope, Together We Save Lives. To know more about this, let's have a conversation with Head of Blood Donor Unit of Indonesian Red Cross, Dr. Robi Nur Aditya. I'm Ray and this is VOA Talk. Hello, Dr. Robi. How are you today?
Hello, Voice of Indonesia. I'm fine and very good in this Friday. Yeah. Thank you.
So what are your time for the weekend, Doctor?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, sure, so yeah. Without any further ado, let's begin today's interview. So why the theme Give Blood, Give Hope, Together We Save Lives is taken for this year Blood Donor Day?
Yeah, as we know that the theme of Give Blood, Give Hope, Together We Save Lives, so it's mean that for the blood donation, it is the acting of giving some hope for the people that fighting for their lives. So I think some patient undergoing surgery and then trauma for accident and then cancer patients or mothers with childbirth complication, I think they have need more get some hope for get a blood donation for the transfusion for their therapy. So this is emphasize of solidarity. When we donate together, we can create stronger and more resilient health system and help save lives. So we can have some benefit for the other people that need for blood transfusion.
Okay, but since many people giving blood donation like every day and every month, is a blood donor actually healthy for the people who are donating blood?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Donor is a good activity. It can be healthy for people that donate blood. That regular blood donation can offer health benefits such as stimulating production of new blood cells, and then helping maintain healthy iron levels. So, and then some of blood donor give some emotional positive well-being. So they can have some sense of purpose and feel psychological can help the other people. So I think the benefit for the blood donation is many. So before donating, but the important thing is before donating, every donor also receive a basic health checkup. So they can examine for the blood pressure, and then check for the blood typing, and then after that, the blood will check for the potential health issue early. So I think this is the benefit of the blood donation regularly.
Okay, so what are the things that we need to do before we give or we donate our blood? Is there specific things that we need to do? Do we have to be healthy before giving our blood to the people in need?
Sure. Before donation, we must have in a good or health condition. So in health condition, I think the it's not on not fit condition. We must have a minimum requirement for the blood donation. For example, is the blood weight, the body weight, minimum 45 kilogram. And then, so before donation, we have some good relax or sleep last night. So and then before donation, we have enough food and drinking before. So I think we must prepare for blood donation in good and health condition.
Okay, so what kind of event does the Indonesian Red Cross will have to increase the numbers of donors today?
So for the blood donation campaign national, we have some activity like mass blood drive at malls, public spaces, and government buildings. And then we have some activity for the appreciation events for regular donor, like donor 5 times, 10 times, or 25 times, or 50 times. We give them some appreciation for blood donor that already have a number that reach many times. So, and then we have some education and outreach programs on the social media. And then collaboration with influencers, community organization, and youth groups to encourage first-time donor.
Okay, so when will the event start?
So tomorrow is 14 June 2025. Will be nationally starting. We in Jakarta, we have a collaboration with the Jakarta Blood Center. We have some ceremonial for the appreciation for the blood donor in the office of Mayor West Jakarta 25 times, 50 times, and then 75 times. So the Jakarta Blood Center will give them appreciation and encourage them to become a more regular blood donor. So I think this is starting in the Jakarta, when the other city, like in Surabaya and then in Semarang, Bandung, there's so many activity to celebrate the 14 June about the blood donation day.
Okay, so from my knowledge, the one who usually give blood donation is from the people of age like 20 until 25 years of age. Is there a possible reason if you are above the age that I've just mentioned is okay to keep donating blood?
The minimum requirement for the age is 17. Because 17, you have already some ID card that you are can legally as a citizen, so you can blood donor starting from the 17 age, and then the maximum age is 60 or 65. It depends on the health condition of the donor. But if you regularly already like 50 or more than 75, and then the age of 70. You can doing blood donation because you're already in health condition for the requirement.
I see. So I would like to ask you, and what kind of blood type that are currently most needed by the patient, especially across Indonesia?
Yeah, majority in Indonesia, the blood type is O. Yeah, types O. So how about you? Yeah, O or other. Yeah. So majority the blood types in Indonesia is O and A. O and A. But the most rare is AB. So AB is the blood type that is the number is very low. So that's the majority in Indonesia. Especially AB in negative. Majority in Indonesia is AO and positive types, but sometimes the patient needs in the negative type. Yeah, AB or O are negative. But majority in Indonesia is positive type for the donation. So we commonly needed the blood types for the surgery and transfusion. So we monitor the demand and the shortage. Sometimes the blood types is very low in some condition, like in fasting month on Ramadan during Lebaran. So we monitor about the blood stock. So we hope we can fulfill the demand in the hospital.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, since my blood type is AB positive. So, like, what I know is that AB blood type can accept any type of blood, and since O is the one that can give their type to any other blood type, is it true that the facts is like that?
Yeah. That's the theory that AB is a. Recipient universal, it can get from the other types, AB, and then O is donor universal. But it is in emergency condition, in some specific condition. The transfusion must be on the same type. So O with O, and then A with A, B with B, so AB and with AB. So the best result we give them in the same type. Yeah, it's more safe. But if we don't have any challenge or maybe some special conditions, we can give the AB for the recipient universal, and then type O for the donor universal.
Okay, so we learned about unique facts for listener about the blood type from Dr. Robby. Yeah. So, Dr. Robby, since blood is a really important necessity for a human being, how many blood supply does the Indonesian Red Cross need in a month?
So, last year we have in a year 2024 we have more than 4.8 million donation. So I think per month we can get around 400,000 blood bags in nationally. So but depends on the need of in some country. WHO have some requirement that you should have minimum 2% from the population. Minimum 2% population. So if Indonesia have 270,000 million, the population, we should have a minimum is around five million donation a year. So we still need more donation because last year only 4.8 totally with the blood component. So we need more donation to get to reach the target is more than 5 million donation a year. Yeah. So I think a month we need around for more than 400 or 450,000 batch donation monthly.
Okay, that's a lot actually. But how long does usually a blood stay? I mean, can be used for giving to other patient. How long does it last?
Blood have expired too. So the time for the expiry is for blood is 1 month. Yeah, 1 month. So if we take the blood today in 13 June. So the blood will be have some expired date in 16 of July, next month. So that we run with the demand from hospital. So before this expired, we must make sure that this blood is using in hospital, so not to become expired before using. So it's for the safety of the transfusion. So if get expired, yeah, we discharge this blood and cannot use for the donation for the transfusion. Yeah.
Okay, I see. So how can be the blood from the Red Cross Indonesia be distributed to like hospitals in Indonesia?
Yeah, we have some agreement with hospital about the need from the hospital, how many blood that we should send to the hospital every week or every day, so we can fulfill the requirement or the need for the patient in hospital. So after donation, we collect the blood in one day, and then we send it to the hospital based on the MOU or the cooperation with the hospital. Maybe sometimes the hospital want to send every 2 days or 3 days based on their need for the patient in hospital. So maybe like for example, hospital need 50 bags every 3 days. Well, okay, we send it to hospital, 50 bags. The type is AB or OAB. And then we do it regularly every 3 days based on the need of the hospital.
Okay, so for the final question, what is your messages for the people who want to donor their blood, especially in this World Blood Donor Day 2025?
Yeah, some people is still worried about the needle. Yeah, but don't worry. Donating blood is a simple act of kindness. Yeah, we can save other lives of people. It takes less than an hour, just 15 or 20 minutes, but the impact can have a lifetime for someone else. So give blood, give hope. Because together we can save lives. Or be hero, donate today and inspire others to do the same. Yeah. I hope we can go to donate blood regularly.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Robinur Aditya, for your time here. And Voi listener, the life-changing impact of blood donors have on those in need and celebrates the power of community and solidarity in saving lives through this simple act of giving blood are the main goals of the World Blood Donor Day. Who knows? You might be able to help someone, you know, or maybe the one who are truly in need. And donor your blood today. And thank you so much, Voice Listener, for accompanying me and Dr. Robin in this amazing interview in about the World Donor Day. Only on Voice of Indonesia, and I'll see you in another episode.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR.
Today's sound.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Selamat menikmati Mangu.
Suatu malam ada
cerita hawanya tak lagi di jalur yang sama. Bacaan dan doa yang mulai berbeda. Engkau dan air mata kita bicara. Gila, tak masuk logika. Termangu hatiku, kau menggenggam kumandangnya. Berdamai dengan apa yang terjadi. Kunci dah di semua masalah ini, jujur tak mudah untuk melangkah pergi. Ini soal hati, bukan yang diyakini. Oh, masuk logika, termangu hatiku, kau menggenggam ku mana adanya. Gila, ini tak biasa. Ku menadahnya.
Of Indonesia.
Nyanit itu sebenarnya tradisi minum tehnya orang Sunda.
Nyanit is actually the tea drinking tradition of the Sundanese people. It originally developed by the communities around Mount Jugurai. The name comes from the Sundanese word nyandetin, which means to bring closer. So, through tea drinking, we can strengthen the bonds of togetherness among us.
That was the explanation of Nyane, a tea ritual from the Sundanese land, which Dasep Berusalam is striving to preserve. In the Nyane tradition, the tea used comes from local plantations. It is brewed in the traditional way, using water sourced from springs around Mount Jugurai. Before boiling, prayers are recited over the water. The dry tea leaves are then added and left to steep for a while until the tea is ready to serve. When the tea is served in the teapot, the atmosphere must remain calm. the glass of tea is rotated twice clockwise over the palm of the hand. Then, the aroma of the tea is inhaled 3 times. This is followed by sipping the tea 4 times gradually.
Jadi ada 4 seruputan.
So in the ritual, there are 4 sips of tea. The first sip is just to let the tea touch the tip of the tongue. The tea is still between warm and hot. We don't drink it all at once. And the second sip, let the tea reach the middle of the tongue. At the third sip, let the tea reach the back of the tongue. And at the fourth sips, hold the tea for 3 seconds before you swallow it.
Yang keempat, pangkal lidah ditahan 3 detik baru diminum.
The centuries old tradition is considered a medium for spreading religious teachings. It is said that Sunan Gunung Jati also used the Nyame tradition as a way to propagate Islam. Moreover, every step of this tradition carries its own profound meaning.
Jadi, dua itu.
So, the ritual is actually meaningful. Rotating the glass twice symbolized that life revolves around 2 things, day and night, male and female, and others. Life is always about pairs. Inhaling the aroma 3 times signifies that our intention, words, and action should always be good and pure. The meaning of the 4 sips is that within us, from we were born until we die, there are 4 elements that always accompany us: water, earth, air, and fire. These 4 elements will always be with us, providing goodness in line with what we see.
Memberikan kebaikan-kebaikan juga beriringan dengan apa yang kita inginkan.
This tradition, which has begun to fade even among the Sundanese people themselves, is now being revived by Dasep through the Nyanit Festival, which has been held since 2017.
Dampaknya alhamdulillah. Jadi,
the impact of the Nyanit Festival is alhamdulillah, although it's not significant, but more people are curious, enthusiastic about Nyanit. We actually have a tea drinking tradition. And it encourages people to make tea drinking as a habit. And then, in my opinion, it has also contributed to increasing the appreciation for tea among the public.
Apresiasi masyarakat gemar minum teh.
Now, the Nyanit tradition is becoming increasingly well known. In addition to hoping that this tradition can be preserved, DASEP also aims for Indonesia to protect, which play important role of this tradition to gain a special place in people's heart.
First tea in Indonesia remains preserved, especially in mountainous areas that still maintain their tea plantation, and our hopes for the future as the Nyanit community is to create a Nyanit village. This village will be integrated, not just hosting an annual festival, but also serving as a permanent Nyanit village.
Tahunan setahun sekali ya Nyanit tuh, tapi ada kampung Nyanitnya juga.
Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast. You can say anything about our broadcast to our email voalisteners@gmail.com, RRA Digital, and our social media. Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia. Instagram, TikTok, VOI_official. And the other talks of The Voice of Indonesia on our YouTube channel, VOI Official. Stay tuned with us at RRA Service, Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Jakarta から Korewa, Voice of Indonesia です。日本語で放送されている Voice of Indonesia は、インドネシアに関するニュース、情報、エンターテインメントだけでなく、さまざまな情報を提供します。周波数 332kHz および4755kHz で、またはウェブサイト www.foinews.id および RRA デジタルアプリケーション KU で毎日放送を視聴したりアクセスしたりできます。